Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you, the podcast where fascinating people meet. I'm your hostess, your groove mistress, and your cruise director tonight, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jen, Jennifer, Perry, JP. I'm just happy to be here and happy that you are as well. For anyone that's new to the show, for people who have tuned in just because they are fascinated by tonight's guest, let me just say welcome. And also to explain, some of you may know the history of cultural salons in the past centuries. There would be, I think, a patroness of the arts who would have writers, musicians, artists, thought leaders, scientists into her home and call it a salon, a gathering, maybe once a week or month or so to share things that they were working on. Well, I can't have one. Even before the pandemic, I couldn't have one like I wanted in the tangible world. So my salon is in cyberspace, and that way I get to bring all kind of interesting people to you. And if you are subscribing, please go ahead and, if you would like, leave a review or share with your friends. You know, one of my favorite things is that when people, I've had several reviews that said you like the fact that the guest may be somebody you already know and of whom you are already a fan, or someone you've never heard of, but it's all good to you. And I appreciate that so much, but always let me know what you like and what you want. Let's see. Last week, oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. Last week, I think we had Moses Moe, the original and still guitarist for R&B funk band Mother's Finest, and of course he's out with his own Moses Moe and the Real Cool Band. And let's see, a couple of weeks before that we had Hollywood scriptwriter, comic and actor Brandy Stillwell. Okay, I laugh just thinking about it. Brandy was on a few years ago with her first comic book. She was working at DC Comics, but it's a character she created in an improv class that just became so popular that she made a comic book, and it's published by DC Comics, called Sasquatch Detective. And now she has, her new book is called None of This is Going According to Plan. It's about a young girl from the fields, the wheat fields of Kansas, goes to film school and then goes to Hollywood and all the adventures that take place. And if you listen to the show, you probably know that at one point I just pushed the microphone away, laid my head on my desk and laughed. She was that funny. So check that out. And coming up this Friday night, you probably know him as the longtime bass player with Todd Rundgren, especially since the days of Utopia. He also plays with Blue Oyster Cult. He's played with Joan Jett. He's part of the Gilmore Project for Meatloaf. And he's got an amazing catalog of his own music, too, when he tours, just playing his own songs. I'm talking, of course, about Kazem Sultan. Kazem Sultan is on tour right now with his solo album. He just finished a tour with Todd a couple of months back, and he is going to be on the show. And we don't usually do a Friday night show, but because Kaz is on tour and his schedule during the week is booked up, we're going to have a show this coming Friday, February the 11th, with guitarist, bass player, musician, songwriter, Kazem Sultan. So, yeah, we're going to have a good time. Last time he was here, somebody says it seemed like old home week. Everybody called in to talk to him. So definitely listen for that. Tonight's guest, so many people are excited about this, as am I. My guest tonight is a licensed psychotherapist. He's the author of several best-selling books, and most of the books he shares ways that people can deepen their experiences with spirit animals and evolve their relationship with them. Now, he has extensive years of training, study into his practice. He's an expert on a broad range of therapeutic techniques, and he offers his clients a unique and powerful synthesis of psychotherapy, somatic therapy, hypnotherapy, shamanic healing, EMDR, tapping, oracle readings, just magnificent array of skills and solutions and processes he provides for his clients. But tonight we're going to talk about his brand new book that I that I am enjoying myself. It's called Animals, Personal Tales of Encounter with Spirit Animals. So please welcome for the first time to Madame Perry Salon, Dr. Stephen Farmer. Dr. Farmer, welcome. Get comfy.
Well, thanks, Jennifer. Yeah, I think with your previous guests, I feel like I should either be able to sing and play or maybe be really funny or something, you know, but I don't think that. We'll see what happens with that. I don't think you want to hear me sing, you know, so we'll skip that part. Anyway,
right.
Yeah, thanks for having me on as a guest, Jennifer.
Oh, I'm delighted. And let me tell you, you know, yes, I've had a lot of writers and a lot of actors and musicians on, and yet somebody was asking me just this past Sunday night about the guest, and I said, you know, yeah, that's great because people might already be a fan of a certain musician or go see them. I said, but every single time I have someone on who's a scientist, maybe a NASA JPL specialist, I've had anthropologists, food historians, sociologists, every single time. You science people are party people. Let me tell you, it's always fun.
Well, I don't know whether to be flattered or not that you're categorizing me as a science person. I deal, you know, somewhat with that, but, you know, probably also, and even more so, I'd say with I don't know what to call a magical, mystical realms, or as some people would say, professional weirdness, you know, because it's definitely not, I don't think it's quite in the mainstream yet in terms of what my work has been about. So, yeah, and I love it, and I think it's, and I just feel really blessed and grateful to be able to do the work I'm doing. I don't think I set out at, you know, 20 years old or something to say, oh, I can't wait to work with, you know, what might be viewed as weird things from a certain perspective, but with spirit animals and ancestors and all that stuff. But here I am, and loving it.
Well, then again, you know, working as a psychotherapist, I mean, with the different types of therapeutic techniques, whether it's psychotherapy, hypnotherapy, usually you don't see shamanic, at least you didn't used to see shamanic healing listed in there. Now, the MDR, the eye movement,
true,
desensitization and reprocessing, and I know for a fact that works. I've had a psychologist do that for me. That is amazing. It's one of those things somebody described.
Yep.
It might have been Andrew Solomon in his book described it. Says, you know, sometimes things sound like they'll be good and make sense, but they don't. And some things sound really wacky, like they would never work.
And they make sense, yeah. Yeah.
And they,
no,
yeah, and they work.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's an. I was trained and certified, actually, in EMDR and also a process called somatic experiencing, created by Peter Levine, and for general purposes, call it somatic therapy. And I consider myself somewhat of an expert on trauma and trauma recovery, and it's becoming somewhat of a household name now. We're beginning to see a lot of information and understand how what that does, you know, and the effects of it, the lingering effects of it could be a one-time trauma or it could be an ongoing trauma or ones that are more difficult or childhood trauma that goes on and repeated. But the good news is that things like EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, that's a mouthful right there, but we'll call it EMDR, where you use either eye movements or tapping the hands or clicks, depending upon the person, is visual, auditory, or more sensory, and you alternate the rhythm, like you eye movements. They go back, as you, if you've experienced, you know what I'm talking about, Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
where the guide or the coach or the therapist will guide you through these eye movements as you're thinking about the traumatizing experience. Somatic experiencing really hit the nail on the head for me. It's like, oh, wow, the trauma. Let's start with the body, because I've always been a body. When I had an active psychotherapy practice, I was very much a body-oriented therapist, because I think that what's going on in the body at any given time is really a really good clue as to what's happening to the individual. And in somatic therapy, we focus on that and bring that to light, and then do some processes that help release the, you could say, the frozen energy of the body that is a result of earlier traumatizing experiences. You know, we tend to get, you know, body armor is another way to say it. And so we want to just kind of gradually and gently unfreeze those frozen parts. You know, in a nutshell, that's what somatic therapy is. But any treatment, even when I did EMDR, it was always incorporating the somatic aspects of the treatment. And I love it. It just makes so much sense. And thank God that there's people out there, you know, that are teaching about trauma, that are teaching about the effects of trauma, and more mm-hmm. importantly, how to recover from those effects. I think that is like, thank God, you know, it explains a lot about the human dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And yeah, I could go on, but I won't, because we got to talk more about your new work too, and everything that you do.
Sure.
You have a new book, and it is called Animals, Personal Tales of Encounters with Spirit Animals. And this is, there are several people who have contributed stories or essays to this book, haven't they? What brought this book together, or brought you to create it? And how did you come about either inviting or bringing other people to share their stories? Well, first of all, just describe what the book is about.
Well, sure. It's it really follows a few other publications I've done related to spirit animals, power animals, etc. So I had established myself in that arena as, you know, someone that teaches this sort of thing and also practices it. The publisher, Ariel from Sacred Stories, actually contacted me. I did a online presentation through her company, Sacred Stories. .com, and she contacted me because I'm known in the field for spirit animals, you know, some other things too, as I mentioned, the trauma stuff and shamanism, shamanic practice and all that. But specifically, because she wanted to develop actually a series that she calls the sentience, or more accurately, common sentience. And what that series is, I think, is a brilliant idea. She has contacted various individuals known in this, in their field, and has taken a theme such as animals, or specifically spirit animals, archangels, ancestors, sound, etc. I think there's probably about 8 of us in this series, so that I was invited to be the featured author. So because I have a name, I think it lent itself to the distribution of the book. And what is absolutely amazing, I think it's a brilliant idea, is with each of these books, including mine, not only is there a featured author that has some established reputation in the, any of those particular fields, but also inviting others to submit their stories for possible inclusion in each of these volumes. And of course, she reached out, and we helped her find people that might offer some stories. And I guess a whole bunch of stories showed up, and it was culled down that I think there's 25 or maybe 27, but somewhere in there, 25 to 27, very short, you know, 2, 3, 4 pages at the most, stories of encounters, like it says in the subtitle, encounters with spirit animals. Great stories in there. I'm so thrilled to be part of this part of this community, you know, that has contributed their stories. What I did, Jennifer, is my job was to write the front end, you know, what are spirit animals, et cetera, you know, and describe that and how do you know they are, and, you know, some of the questions that people that aren't, particularly those who aren't familiar with this, would actually want to know about. And then at the other side, the back end of the book, is another sort of a closing comments written, and then offering a couple of my stories, you know, which I've got a few of my encounters with spirit animals, which are numerous, quite frankly. So that's what the premise of this series is, and specifically this book. And like I said, there's some pretty amazing stories in there. And one in particular, if I may just go ahead and jump into this, it's the opening story of the book, you know, after my introduction, et cetera. An animal communicator I don't consider myself to be an animal communicator. It's more spirit animals. An animal communicator submitted this amazing story about a horse that she was called to tend to. The horse was going to be euthanized because he had a large tumor that was untreatable. And she was called in along with the veterinarian who was going to, you know, put the animal to sleep, but, you know, euthanize the animal mercifully.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got there, she heard in her inner voice the horse's communication, a simple sentence that said, "I took it from her." And she's going, "Huh, I don't know what that means yet." So she continued to inquire. What the horse kept communicating to her is, "I took it from her." And this happened about three times. And what she learned from the mom that was there is that her daughter, who was about 15, I believe, had an inoperable brain tumor. Get this, okay? This is a miracle. And so what happened as the pieces were put together is somehow, I have no way of understanding or explaining how, that's why I call it a miracle, the horse, out of his love for this young woman who cared for her many, many years, sacrificed his life so that she could live. So what he meant by that in communicating to the animal communicator, Laura, was, "I took it from her so she could live." Now that is, wow, you know, that is miraculous. I read that story, you know, when I got the book and I read that story and I went, oh my God, you know, I got tears falling out of my eyes. So it was so touching. That's one of the most powerful, but, you know, it really grabs you. But there are others too that are just as intriguing, just as powerful, just as amazing, and just as miraculous.
Yeah, that was the one from Laura Rowley. And with the horses, I took it from her. I took it for the girl. Yeah.
Yeah, I Which took it for the girl.
Could you, you know, it's hard to go on. And by the way, I was going to say, if you're enjoying the show, if you have a question or comment for Dr. Farmer, please, you can call 646-716-9922, which is a toll-free call in the continental U.S. If you can't make a call, you can always send me a message or questions on Facebook, either through Madam Perry Salon or Jennifer Maudette Perry, and I'll be happy to share it. I think I may be able to keep Dr. Farmer for, almost 45 minutes or just however long he can stand before that. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to hang around, you know.
Oh, good. You know, this is an old, like the old type of salon, but since mine is in a big home in Europe, mine's here in one of the first guests that was ever on here, Dr. Farmer, went back and told people, "I've been to Madame Perry's salon. It looks like the inside of Genie's bottle." So here we are in a Genie bottle in cyberspace. That's why I gave you these big pillows to sit on. So hope you're comfy because we're going to talk.
Yep.
Could you, first of all, before we go into any more stories, explain this to us. Some people, of course, know a lot about this, and some may not be as familiar. But could you describe the difference or what is meant by the term spirit animals, and how is that different or similar to a totem animal?
Sure, yeah. The a little backdrop to all this is shamanism. And it's shamanism itself has become increasingly... increasingly understood. There's more and more people practicing some of these shamanic processes, healing, etc. It's really the oldest healing system that has been around in humans. I mean, we're talking, you know, tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of years ago. The gift of the shaman was the capacity to consult, if you will, with his non-visible friends, shall we say, or non-visible consultants, you know, spirit animals, ancestors, etc. And in doing so, he was able to travel to this realm called non-ordinary reality. Another way to say it, it's an alternate reality just across the veil. It's right here, but you typically don't see it, you know, in everyday reality or ordinary reality. So there were certain ways that he or she could travel in that way, and then consult with the guides and then bring that information back to the tribe for healing purposes, also divination, something called divination, which means where's the buffalo, you know, where can we go? It's not, I say buffalo, it's not just Native American, it's in just about every indigenous tribe that I'm aware of, as well as even you and I, long ago ancestors lived in a community where there was a shaman. I'll guarantee you it's sometime, and we're talking, you know, quite a while ago, but somewhere in our deep, deep, deep lineage, there was a shaman. So enough said about that. One of the shamanic realities that I referred to was the relationship, and I'm going to say he, but it could be he or she, the relationship that he developed with various spirit animals. And with those spirit animals, they would provide protection, guidance, healing, etc. Excuse me one second. There we go. So my introduction to shamanism was, oh, gosh, I think almost getting close to about 35 years ago. And I had a very active psychotherapy practice. I was feeling the urge, though, like there's something more. And I was introduced to it through a book called Way of the Shaman by Michael Harner. And I decided to go ahead and take a 2-day introductory course. And Jennifer, it blew me away. I was like, wow, okay, this is the next step for me. You know, so I started gobbling up training after training in different, shall we say, different types of shamanism, Tibetan, Hawaiian shamanism, Huna, Celtic shamanism, et cetera, and other courses that were put on or sponsored by the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, which was Harner's organization. He was basically given the assignment to teach as many people as possible. And like he said one time, he said, as long as humans are doing what they're doing to the earth, I'm going to keep teaching it. And that was very courageous because he was like an anthropologist. And at that time, anthropologists still figured that they were total science and you don't participate in ceremonies and stuff like that. Well, Michael did. Anyway, let me abbreviate this a little bit. So anyway, I took off with that. I had written some books as a therapist, one of which I read, you know, is still out and available, but I didn't write for a number of years. And then the more that I trained and studied shamanism, I went, wait a minute, there's some things from here that if you have, people have no interest in shamanism, they can benefit, you know, from various aspects of shamanism. Examples, sacred ceremony. That was my first book. You think sacred ceremony, you don't go, oh, shamanism. No, you don't. The ceremony is an important part of our lives. Funerals, weddings, rites of passage, etc. And it naturally gravitated towards spirit animals. First book was Power Animals. The next one was Animal Spirit Guides, you know, 212 possible animal spirit guides, what their messages are, that sort of thing. And then Oracle Cards, which are kind of user-friendly tarots. And they are really cool Oracle Cards. There's tons of them out there, you know, and so I started creating those. which led me to this book here, Animals, the one we're talking about, we were talking about. So what a spirit, there are three terms that I'm going to address here. Spirit animal, which I use animal, spirit guide, and spirit animal interchangeably. So spirit animal, if you hear me say one or the other, it means the same thing. Second is totem animals, which you hear. You made that reference. And the third is power animals. Here's the 25 words or less simple formula for whether an animal is a spirit animal. When an animal appears in an unusual way and or repeatedly in a short space of time, there's something pretty big going on. And it could be the physical animal, or it could be a symbol of the animal, like waking up from a big dream, seeing a poster with this animal, going to the supermarket and hearing somebody talking about the same animal. You know, repetition in that way, too, symbolically. And so what's going on? And I'm not asking anyone to really believe this. What I would ask is that you be willing to test it out, experiment with it. That's the best proof when you have an experience. But to start with, my job is to point the way as to how you have that experience. So when an animal appears in an unusual way or repeatedly like that, it's great spirit, or you could say God if you want to, or source or the universe, whatever. But I like either great spirit or God. That's okay. Great spirit is the one I often refer to, but you get what I'm saying. It's like great spirit is saying, okay, Stephen, here's the deal. We need to get a message to you, and we figure the best way we're going to do this is through an animal. So this animal appears. Let's say owl, you know, that I live in Dana Point, California, and, yeah, there's owls around here, but not very frequently. And one day I literally, this happened. I walked out my front door to take my dogs for a walk in the evening, and I hear this owl. So I start singing. You know, we're bouncing back and forth in his language. And we had a trip. It was a gas, you know. We went, we walked to the park. I walked to the park with my dog, and he and I sang to each other all the way over there. So I considered that an unusual experience. So I would tag that as an animal spirit guide or a spirit animal. Let's call it animal spirit guide. So I figured, maybe he's got a message for me. And in fact, he did. And it was, I'm an itinerant folk singer, rock and roll. Yeah, music is my art, you know, one of my arts, I should say. And I love music. I play guitar. I've written songs, et cetera. But it's more of a hobby. It's not a career or anything like that, you know. I wish I was that good, but I'm not. You know, I do okay. Anyway, he was reminding me to sing, you know, basically saying, look, dude, you haven't sung for a long time, so get on it. And I did. I heeded the message. So that's an example of an animal spirit guide, a totem animal, Jennifer. And please interrupt, you know, if you have questions about any of this, please do so. I'm sure that the other listeners may have also. Yeah, just jump in and say, well, Stephen, you can call me Stephen, too. It's okay.
Okay.
So the second thing I mentioned is totem animal. And totem is a spirit animal that's shared by a group, a clan, a community. I heard a couple weeks ago somebody was telling me that there was a 12-step program that had adopted a totem animal, you know, a specific animal or spirit animal, more accurately, that became the totem animal for the group. Totem poles, you've heard of, you know, in the Pacific Northwest. And what we think they're about is that in any particular tribe, there were different clans. So the clan, each clan would have a representation in the totem. And then the animal that's portrayed at the top of the totem was the overall totem for the entire tribe. So that's a totem. We have rough semblances of totems. Philadelphia Eagles, Los Angeles Rams, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, they're not thought of as totem animals necessarily, but I find it interesting. We've got a contemporary sample of something like that, at least. So, last but not least, power animals. Power animals really comes from shamanism, you know, and that's anybody who works with shamanism typically initiates and develops a relationship with at least one or two power animals, possibly a couple more, but not 153 power animals. That's like having 153 of your best friends, you know, over for a party. No. You don't need that many. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I work with four over the years that have, acquired me, you know, a little bit at a time. And I'll be glad to share with that in just a moment. But I want to identify what a power animal is. A power animal is a spirit animal typically associated with shamanism, but what I discovered through my work is it doesn't have to be. Again, that was part of my mission that I was assigned or called to do, you can have a particular spirit animal that is a long-term association. A fellow I knew, he loved elephants. You know, he had elephant ties. He read books on elephants. That's a pretty good clue that's a specific kind of spirit animal called a power animal. Mm-hmm. And the power animal is a long-term relationship. Often people refer to that as a totem animal. I'm fine with that. You know, I'm not going to quibble. You want to call it a totem animal, that's fine. But you get the point is it's a spirit animal that's with you for years. And those are some of the distinctions. Anyway, I hope that fills that in. I realize I spoke a lot about that, but that kind of outlines what, you know, the different types of spirit animals are, and also an example of what that's like.
No, that's exactly what we wanted to know. So, yeah, thank you. I'm going to take before I come back to the other stories, I'm going to take just a little break to play something from a sponsor and a message because, and we'll get a drink of water, and I'll be right back with I am just amazed by, you know, it's like I've read your book. So I felt like I knew what to expect, but still getting it from you is a whole different thing. So anyway, I'll be back in about 2 minutes with more Dr. Stephen Farmer.
I mean, the world has gone crazy, right? I mean, this whole pandemic, I don't even know if I'm coming or going anymore. You know what I mean? But the one thing during the pandemic that I found out, right, that was a good thing was the Madame Perry Salon. I mean, this podcast, right, when you hear her laughing, all you want to do is laugh. Right? When her dog's barking in the background and she's talking to the duck, she's going to an interview, and I'm like, this podcast is the best podcast I've ever heard before. You know what I mean?
Ugh, what a day. I just need some me time for once. Yes, perfect. I got the new bath bombs today. Peach and clove, here we come. Mim and the Anvil makes the best smelling herbal blends of bath bombs. You can order loose or ground herb, added buttermilk, extra large, even ones with hidden gifts inside. There are over 25 essential oil varieties. After today, my body definitely needs some spiritual nourishment and lots of fizz. Her metaphysical blends are soothing in more ways than one. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. Make time for yourself. There are over 100 herbal blends of bath bombs. Keep a healthy body and mind. Feed your soul. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. If you don't make time for yourself, no one else will.
All right. Thank you. We are back with Dr. Stephen Farmer and his new book, Animals, Personal Tales of Encounters with Spirit Animals. And it has stories from several different people in here that are fascinating. This book is people are telling tales of spirit animals appearing to them in real life, in dreams, symbolically, the sharing mystical, but also practical medicine and how these spiritual allies can guard, aid, heal, and guide you in the most unexpected and delightful ways. So there's little hints on the press paper about some of the stories in here. And I don't know Stephen, if you'd want to tell us one, but let me just give a couple of hints. there's one that says, there are true stories in the book, like an otter that instills confidence in a young single mom, which makes me think of the, remember the movie Bright Ring of Water? Did you ever see that?
No, I never did. I never heard of it.
Oh, okay. It's an old British film. I think it might be 60s or 70s. Let's see. A poison dart frog that cautions about caring for air in our water. Whales. And I think there was one title, one chapter title, My Emotional Support Shark. They all have great titles.
Yep.
So is there a particular story or two you'd like to talk about in there, or maybe your own?
Sure. Yeah, well, I can share one of my own, too. And one comes to mind is a dear friend of mine who wrote one and submitted it, The Cat, Coyote, and the Crows. And I'll try to abbreviate it. Oh, by the way, if I can ask you this, do you have a different pillow I can sit on?
Sure, hon. I know it's a little dim in here.
Right.
If you would reach over to your left, just a bit.
My left. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, there we go.
Better?
Oh,
yeah.
God bless
you.
Oh, much better. Thank you.
Oh,
so anyway,
welcome.
The Cat, Coyote, and the Crows. Forgive me. I've been talking a lot today. In fact, hold on one second. There we go. I muted you, so I wouldn't do that in the microphone. Cat, Coyote, and the Crows. Judy Lemon is her name. And she had a cat named Lulu, I think it was. I'm pretty sure that was the cat's name. Older cat. And she heard a bunch of crows outside her door, and she wondered, what the heck is going on? Again, that's not unusual, you know, crows, but it was such a cacophony of noise from the crows that she went out to the backyard, and there was a coyote that had her cat in its jaws. And even though she has a fenced backyard, what a lot of people don't know is coyotes can jump fences. You know, we've had experiences here in this neighborhood because we live, there's a couple of canyons right nearby. That's where they live. Anyway, so she got really big and made a lot of noise, and the coyote dropped Lulu. And there were some injuries to the cat. The cat couldn't walk. Took the cat to the vets, and in addition to working with the wounds, discovered that the cat had cancer. So Lulu was not probably going to live very long. So Judy was also going to be taking a trip in about three days from there, and she was still able to take the trip, but she wasn't sure she was going to go or not, depending on what happened with Lulu. They found out Lulu had the cancer, and so she made she found I couldn't leave and leave her in that condition that as a result of the coyote's wounds. So what she did, once she found out that Lulu was going to die anyway from the various tumors that she had, so she decided to euthanize Lulu, and with sadness, as it is always true when you put down a beloved pet.
Mm-hmm.
And the warning from the crows, it's her belief, and I believe it also, that the crows gave her warning about that. And the link between the crows, the coyote, and the cat was just amazing. That had the coyote had not grabbed Lulu, Judy would never have discovered that in fact Lulu was quite ill. And so she was able to be with her when she was euthanized and said farewell, and then ended up going on her trip anyway because she didn't have any reason to stay because Lulu was put to sleep. So that's one story that comes from there. Another is a coyote. If I might go ahead and jump in, I'll tell you another short. I'll try to keep it short, which is difficult for me because once you punch a button, I'm like talking. But I'll do my best.
You're going to have to
like
come
I
back.
Said, we live. Oh, I'm happy to. Yeah, happy to, Jennifer. Like I said, there's a couple of canyons nearby where the coyotes live. Occasionally neighbors or we see one, but not very often. Anyway, one time I'm in the park again, walking my dogs. It's twilight, you know, so the sun had pretty well set. And I guess it was more like dusk. And I saw this coyote walking. I thought it was a dog at first, and I moved over closer to it. And it was a coyote just walking down the street like nobody's business. So again, okay, what's the message? I tuned in. Here's how you do this, okay? This is one way to do it, to find out what the message is. What a concept. You ask the spirit animal. So coyote served as, you could say, a representative of the larger collective consciousness of all coyotes. So it's a pretty big deal. And again, great spirit is, I want to say chosen, but great spirit has sort of infiltrated the collective consciousness of all coyotes and sort of said to this coyote, look, take a walk down the street. Okay. Farmer's over here. And you need to have him get your attention. And he did. So I'm watching this coyote and I'm thinking, wow, coyotes, don't see them very often. They're around, I know, but I don't see them very often. So I said, and this is what you do with a spirit animal or a potential spirit animal, is you just close your eyes, take a couple of breaths and say, coyote spirit, or whatever the animal is, coyote spirit, what's your message? And what I heard, and that's often how I get messages, Jennifer, is is auditory, the voice in my inner mind. What I heard in the inner voice was, beware of some deception in your life. And it's one of three people, very specific, which I appreciate. I like those kind of messages. A little mysterious, you know, a little mysterious, but yeah, you know, okay, well, let me check that out. So thank you, Coyote Spirit. Thank you for the message, and thank you for the courier, messenger, that coyote that was walking down the street. So I spent some time contemplating that message. What could that be? And by the way, coyote is sometimes known as the trickster, so, and can be deceptive. So there's also a metaphor there of characteristics of the animal themselves. So after contemplating this, you know, I go, okay, this person, maybe, no, I don't get it, but okay, maybe. What about this? Okay. So I tuned in on this second person. I didn't even go to the third. And I went, this could be, you know, my wife has been telling me this all along. I just haven't listened, that this guy is doing some kind of deceiving. And it's no need to go into a lot of the details, but I invested some money with him and he was going to pay me and he didn't pay me and he kept stalling and, you know, one thing after the other, that kind of story. And so finally I realized, okay, should have listened to my wife, right? And Coyote, you know, spirit animal guy, I guess I had to have it from a spirit animal to confirm what my wife was saying all along. Oh, God. That's so true. Sometimes wise know best, you know, I realize that. Anyway, so one thing led to another, and I finally took some action and went to consult an attorney, et cetera, and got things rolling. And we ended up settling, you know, which I much prefer. And that was due to Coyote's message to me that things got going, you know. I listen to those messages, you know, I heed them. I think they're very important. I walk in one evening or near evening to my home office. I have an office here at the house, and I'm hearing crickets. Well, okay. All right. Jennifer, think about the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of crickets. What do you think? What comes to mind?
Well, you know, people use crickets as a euphemism now for like nothing, saying nobody's saying anything. Okay. I also think of being outside and.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. And the noise they make.
That kind of click. Yeah.
Like the owl. All of those are accurate. And it could be the message was any one of those things. I didn't think much of it the first night, but then the second night I went, well, this is interesting. you know, okay, again, put on the hat, you know, animal spirit. Let's see what's going on. So I did the same thing I just said when I did with coyote. And kind of like with owl, you know, singing to each other all the way to the park. Same thing, the same message was sing, really simple, sing. And so I did, you know, I've got a couple of guitars, you know, so I hadn't sung for a long time or sat down and just enjoyed playing and singing, you know, which I do as a creative expression, you know, one of alternate ways of expressing creativity, the creative pulse. And I tell you, it was really, I thank the spirit of crickets for that, that message, because it got me back into singing and playing, you know, like I neglected for a while. And I love it. It's good for the soul. You know, as you had musicians on before, and I'm sure they speak of that in some way. Good for the soul, good for the body, and good for the creative expression.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, I'm laughing, not laughing at you. I'm laughing at just the delight that must have felt like to be getting that message.
Right.
It's like, okay, I get it. And you're right. And I get it. And I'm clicking and I'm going to play and I'm going to sing. And just a kind of a feel good. What am I going to say? A chumminess with the animal world.
Yeah. You know, I think most people love animals of some sort. They may not like all animals, you know, wild bears or something like that. But we have an association, and I think one of the reasons we are an animal. You know, let's face it, you know, we're monkey bodies, you know, basically evolved from the monkeys. We have something that's different, which is this, what I call self-reflective consciousness. You know, we can think back on ourselves. We can view ourselves. You know, we have that capacity to think. We're not the only animal that does, but perhaps, you know, one of the more sophisticated in that sense. And I think that reason alone, and the fact that we're instinctive, for instance, talking about trauma. excuse me, swallow. Talking about trauma, you know, it's so fascinating that when you begin to understand trauma from the body, you know, starting with the body, that what happens when we perceive a threat? What do? Well, first thing is we alert and assess. What other animals do it? Deer caught in the headlights. You know, if you've walked, you know, taking a walk through the forest, you see a group of deers, what are they doing? They got their heads up looking right at you. You know, what's going on here? It's instinct, and we are creatures of instinct, if you will. Humans are. So what happens then if there's no threat? An interesting thing happens. If I perceive something that could be life-threatening in some way, I go on alert, I assess it, and then if there is no danger, often, and this you'll see with deer, is you'll see the skin sort of shaking a little bit. And what they're doing is the cortisol that jumps into the system to alert us then starts to get, we start to discharge that tension, you know, the necessary tension for survival. So we might twitch, we might flush, we might cry, we might tear, some kind of release of that energy. And if there is an actual threat, guess what we do? The first thing any animal does. Get the heck out of there. leave. Get away. Can I get away from this threat? And if we can, great. We're successful. Again, we might experience that kind of shaking or discharge of the energy. Can't escape. The next recourse could be to fight. You know, use our aggression to get out of the situation. If that doesn't work, and this is the most interesting part, what happens? We collapse. The circumstances of the last 2 years, in my opinion, in part, can be related to what I've just been describing. Instinctively, we feel kind of trapped. And I'm really generalizing here. You know, it's not true for everybody, but I think broadly it is. We're seeing an amazing increase in the last 2 years of anxiety and depression. Well, mm-hmm. what is depression? But it's a collapse. I don't see a way out. What do I do? I feel helpless. What do I do? Well, I'll just sit here, you know, and drink more or medicate some other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of a shifted subjects here, but I think it's fascinating. Back to
Yeah, but it is, it does. I mean, you said shifted subjects, but still, this is something that's occurring now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, interesting,
how do you,
isn't it? I find it fascinating.
Yeah, how do you think that listening to or being aware of spirit animals, totems, familiars, whatever, can get people, can make a difference for people right now? Because, you know, there was a big thing about when the pandemic began, people locked down, people got pets, then they started giving them back. Some did. After they got back into leaving for the office or whatever.
Right.
I guess I'm trying to ask you, how would you recommend people, because part three of the book is deepening your connection with spirit animals, how would you recommend or suggest people deepen a connection with a spirit animal that may help that edge off that feeling of collapse?
Absolutely. Great question. And here's my pitch, okay, in a general way. What's going on is there is an awakening in human consciousness, an awakening to this different reality that's right here, right now, and that is, you could say, the spiritual reality. So I think the most important thing to do is get yourself in alignment with spirit in some way, mm-hmm. not in a fundamentalist way or having to do with morality or this or that or whatever, but to where you could communicate with the ordinarily non-visible world, that you can teach yourself, you can learn from others how to do that. Like I'm talking, I'm telling you how to do this. Mm-hmm. And one of the most accessible ways to get guidance, you know, through this morass of confusion, you know, is to every day just be alert to how spirit is communicating and guiding and calling you. And there are other ways too. I'm not saying spirit animals are the only way, Jennifer, but they're certainly a very convenient way and they're very accessible. You don't have to have anything to do. It's not about shamanism, you know, not really. It's an overused term these days anyway, as it is. It's about mm-hmm. being able to stay in alignment with your soul's purpose, with the destiny, with what you came here to do. And that can be challenging during the trials that we've had to face here over the last couple of years. And who knows where it's going? So regardless mm-hmm. of where it's going, I mean, look at the climate is changing. Yeah, duh.
Nah.
Take a look. So where do we find stability in instability? We find it, you know, in days gone by, they might say, God, I'm okay with that. That's fine, you know, but the term I use is great spirit, to find alignment with spirit in whatever way. Like every morning I sit down and I use the computer, but I write in my journal about what's going on. And then I slow down, take a few breaths, and then I ask my ancestors, you know, for any kind of message I need to receive. And just by asking, it's amazing the messages I get. Or I might ask Raven, which is one of my main spirit animals, power animal. Hey, Raven, what's up? You know, mm-hmm. what's my message? You know, thanks for offering, you know, whatever you have to say. And just that simple exercise, you know, I get some really... Jennifer, I like the simple and the profound. And when the messages come through, you know, quite a mix, huh? save your money. That's simple and profound. At the same time, we had a guy. Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, you get my point. You know, is whatever you can do to sustain a consistent, stable alliance with a spirit guide or spirit guides, great. I don't care if they're angels, ancestors, you know, it doesn't really matter. Those ordinarily non-visible, I say ordinarily because some people see them, you know, but, and the cool thing, the coolest thing about animals serving as spirit guides is that you, they're all around, you know, turn on the television, you know, there's an animal there, you mm-hmm. know, look at a book in your shelf. There's an animal, there's a feather on the shelf there. You walk outside, you know, there's a coyote, like I said, you look up and there's a hawk flying, you know, above you. They're available. So it makes it more accessible when you begin to understand the connection between the specific physical animal and the collective consciousness of that animal, which we're calling the spirit. So that hawk is like a sales rep, if you will, you know, for a message from spirit. I like to put it that way. Yeah, sales rep. Hey, Stephen, pay attention. Three hawks are flying right above your head. What's going on? Take a look. Ask your question. You know, thank them for their message, you know, and then pay attention to what it is. The other piece I would want to add to that too is, as you begin working with spirit animals, there's a principle called reciprocity,
mm-hmm.
which simply means the exchange. You know, it happens all the time. Take a breath. And what are you doing? You're giving oxygen to the trees and the plants. Breathe in. What are you doing? You're receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath. You're receiving. Exhale. You're giving. There's always reciprocity going on.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm encouraging people to do, especially with spirit animals and animals in general, is reciprocate. When you get gifts from animals, you know, give something back. You know, donate your time, your money, your energy, whatever, to, you know, reputable organizations, for instance. You know, Humane Society is a good one, U.S. Defenders mm-hmm. of Wildlife. I can name you about a half a dozen, but you get the point. So
right.
that I am actively reciprocating. It's a lesson we in Western civilization has kind of been lost along the way. You know, how much money can I make? Well, how about giving away 10% of it
mm-hmm.
as a thank you? You know, another rant. Excuse me, I'm ranting. So,
Stephen, it is
laugh or something. I got real serious there. So
this has gone. This has just gone by, and it just felt like minutes. And we've been together almost just about an hour, and I don't want to let you go, but I know I have to. If I can get you back, I'll have to be able to show proof that I will let you return. So.
Yeah, happy to do so.
Yeah, you understand that. It's like you're a musician. I read your story about your first Martin acoustic that you wanted so badly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, I know with my for a long time I had a jazz combo, and I would always say I have to treat my musicians well, and I have to make sure they get paid. The club pays me so I can pay them, or the agent pays me.
Yeah.
Because if I don't send them back home to their partners with the money and being treated well and fed, they may not let them come back. So I have to treat you well and let you go home so you can come
sweetheart.
Back here again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Happy. Yeah, just, you know, send me an email. And
I will.
Set something up. I can. Okay. There's tons of stuff I can talk about. I'd love to have a discussion with you. And plus, I like the fellow on the break, you know, I love your laughs.
That's thank you.
There you go. Well, you know, part of it, Jennifer, real quick, is just, you know, have fun, have a sense of humor, laugh more in your life. You know, people, we got to do that, you know, amidst the heaviness of the times. You know, find ways that you can enjoy and you can laugh and you can giggle. Play with a puppy.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
do things
Lord,
that make, they're just fun and light. So God bless you for having a sense of humor, Jennifer. Thank you. And I'd love
I
to be a guest
you.
Again. Just let me know.
What did I tell you before we came on the air? I've got a long history with herding dogs, corgis, shepherds, Australian cattle dogs.
That's right.
I'm used to being herded around. And once you relax and start letting them lead you, it's a great life. Especially
great.
As long as you
good
keep feeding them.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the exchange. That's there you go. Reciprocity.
Reciprocity is a very important word to me. I am so thrilled to have had Dr. Stephen Farmer on here tonight. I will be sharing all of his contact information, the website, and any way you can find out about his books, oracle readings, everything you could possibly want, Earth Magic Oracle Cards. Oh, Dr. Stephen Farmer, you got it going on. DrStephenFarmer.com. But because a lot of people listen when they're driving home to and from work or when they're jogging, I want to make sure they always know that I will share all the, your social media on all of my social media, not just for Madame Perry Salon, but also, you know, my personal for Jennifer Maudette Perry. And we will be back Friday night with Chasm Sultan from Todd Rundgren, Don Felder, Blue Oyster Cult, and his own music.
Cool.
Can't wait. He's been on before. You know everybody's. This will be a great show, too. Another great show this week. I'm telling you, it's been like magic, Dr. Farmer. So I'm going to say everybody be good. Good. I wanted you to be good to yourselves. Be good to each other, folks. Remember my motto, everybody's got to swing. And see you next time. Bye-bye.